Young energy. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I get it. I hear it quite often. Nevertheless, I can notice something. All right, so before we get started tonight, Dave, you're back. How are you feeling?
I'm in recovery.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got a strained back.
Okay.
It's going to take some time.
Would that be
but
the...
But it's not what we thought, so good.
Was that... That's kind of...
Yeah.
We're thankful for
thankful
that.
Thankful is not a kidney.
Yeah. We're glad to have you back, brother. We were praying for you.
Appreciate the prayers.
I'm thankful to have us together as much as we can be. Any news on Julie?
I text her and sent her music, and I told her how much we miss her.
Yeah, good.
And only God can give her strength to come back.
Amen. Yeah, I think we were here, and she was going to try to be here last Sunday. I was like, boy, she is adventurous. She's bold, but she is a bold person. So, any other news on Julie?
I talked to her Monday, but
okay.
She's doing well.
Okay. Just normal recovery.
Yeah.
Okay. No setbacks or anything like that. Okay. And then I must have lost it here in my notes. I think Jerry was doing well. He was here Sunday, right? Jerry Gross.
Gross,
yeah. Yeah.
I saw him today. He said that it was amazing how good he was.
And that's the kindness of the Lord as well. So.
Chris said say thank you to everyone for his card. It really inspired him, he said.
Mm-hmm.
The thoughtfulness.
Mm-hmm. And they put him back in rehab now.
He's in rehab over at Brooks on him. From Parkway.
Which, that's where Micah was kind of wanting him, closer to them.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Chris Bryan, Julie's doing well. And then, is there anyone else?
Chris Phelps.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I had them written. I don't know what I did. I lost it, I guess. I had it written down here. That just frustrates me to no end. How's Chris doing? We've been praying for you. And Mr. Phelps.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you for the card that the lady who sent out. We got that. Thank you, Kim, for doing that.
I'm surprised we saw you here tonight. I didn't think we were going to see you.
Well, my daughter, Kinsey, she said if you want to go to church on Wednesday, I'll come and set the band. So,
well, just you walking in the door encouraged me. I was like, hey, it's Mom Phelps. I'm still looking on my notes. I'm quite upset. Ah, there it is. I write a lot. Mr. Dave, Julie, Kim P. See, it's right there. And then also, Pastor Gary sent a message today, and he'd like to have a time where I thought, I got my days mixed up. I keep getting my days mixed up with you guys leaving. And so I didn't know you were going to be here tonight. So it's this Friday you're leaving. You've told me that 5 times already. So.
We weren't counting.
Okay. You're very gracious. But Pastor Gary did want to take some time for 2 or 3 of the men just to pray. Just for the Lord's direction for you guys as you're going out, you know, serving. Caring for those that are going through a difficult time. So 2 or 3 of you men, Mr. Dave, I knew that. That was a no-brainer. Pastor Greg and then Pastor James, you want to close us? Okay. Go ahead, Mr. D.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you and to seek your face and your kingdom, to seek your ways and not our own. Lord, you've given this body many opportunities, and you've given them to those who are able to serve and willing to serve, and I thank you for that. So, Lord, we ask you to give direction, clarity, and opportunity for your word. As Peter and Lori are out, Lord, and as they're seeking to serve you and honor you and to help those in need. And we thank you for this time. We thank you for their willingness, their faithfulness, and we'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor and praise in Jesus' name.
And Father, we do thank you for hearts that are desiring to serve you. And Lord, we just ask for a hedge of protection around them. We ask that they be shown many opportunities and recognize those opportunities to glorify your name. Lord, there's many different ways that that you give us the opportunity to serve you. Lord, we recognize that you don't need us to do anything, but it is a reward that you allow us to come alongside and to serve you, serve in your kingdom. And Lord, we just pray for opportunities for Peter and Rory to share the hope that is in them, the faith that they have in who you are, with those who have had difficult times strike them. Lord, we recognize that it's in those difficult times people will turn to you looking for answers, looking for hope. And so, Lord, we just pray that that Peter and Rory have opportunities to do that, just to plant seeds. Lord, they may be planting seeds. They may be watering seeds that have already been planted that they're not aware of. But Lord, we just pray that they walk in a manner that is glorifying to you, and that the people that they encounter see that. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for the way that you lead and begin to work in hearts. And so, Lord, we see and hear the heart in Peter and Lori to not only care for different things physically that may be going on with those that are hurting in that area now, but Lord, the desire to see the gospel proclaimed, to point to you in these things as the only one that can bring real healing and real strength and endurance. Lord, do pray for our brother and sister in this time that, Lord, you would, as we know you're faithful to do, just give them your perfect strength and just keep their hearts knit with you through these things. Lord, we don't know all that they're going to encounter. I know they don't know all that they're going to encounter, but Lord, you do. So Lord, that you just prepare their hearts in this way. And Lord, we look forward to hearing the testimony of the work that you're going to do in this time, Lord, because we know your desire is to see these souls rescued and that your comfort be felt. And so Lord, do just pray that you give them the right words, the right thoughts at the right moment, for the different needs that they're going to encounter, Lord. And we look forward to this work that you're going to finish. We confidently expect that. You are our hope in this. We give you thanks and praise and all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Romans 12 would say to live as a sacrifice, you know, and that's what you guys are doing. So, Kim Farron here? Oh, yeah. I got to let, do you want to come up?
No.
Are you coming up?
No.
Or are you just staying there?
Yeah.
You're like me. You project. So go ahead.
I just wanted to thank y'all all in advance for anybody who's going to be coming out on Saturday. And we are going to have a lot of cutting to do. So if you have sharp scissors, please bring a pair of sharp scissors with you and mark them with your initials or something so that they go home with you as well. But we are starting at 9 on this Saturday morning, so thank you in advance.
Yeah, I think we had some good scissors, don't we, that we were using the cardboard on?
And I've got a cardboard cutter that we got that's got a little circular cutter on there that's going to help.
Paper.
You know what we did? Was it last year? You know what we did last year?
Yeah.
We cut them with the side grinder.
We were... We all have some smaller stuff, so we thought we'd go with something.
Multi-purpose tool. We have carved pumpkins with the multi-purpose tool. It's great.
Well, go ahead and bring it.
Yeah, we'll have it. Multi-purpose tools.
We're going to need a few different ones doing it. So.
We're going to need some metal handlers. Okay. Okay. Ingenuity. Because you start cutting that cardboard with those scissors, you'll be walking like this on Sunday. Just give me a hug. That's it. This thing's not working. It'll be locked up.
Sorry.
So we did that for about an hour, and I said, forget this. Okay. And then, Kim, you want to come up? I get the privilege of you riding with us on Wednesdays, and I won't have an evangelism offertory until next week. So why don't you share with us what happened today? This was your last day.
This was my last day in the Suwanee County School District, mm-hmm. and that's about 90 miles west on mm-hmm. I-10. And it was just a special day in many, many ways, and just thoughts and talks with the Lord. And it's been a privilege to really serve these kids. Mm-hmm. They're all visually impaired and some other disabilities added in as well. Mm-hmm. Today I met with two of my high schoolers, and we sat down and talked about, you know, the progress they had made and what we're looking for next year. And over the year, one of them's Ethan, by the way. Many of the ladies have been praying for him. Mm-hmm. And his classmate, Adriana. So we finished, you know, taking care of the business of the day. And all of a sudden, the Lord just, and I'd spoken with them on and off about Jesus during my time with them. But the Spirit just, I was surprised at what was coming out of my mouth. It was one of those things. And I just kept talking, and I'm watching their faces, and something's happening, and I'm like, whoa.
You're standing up in the synagogue kind of thing.
And I got to tell them about, you know, we're sinners. Jesus Christ is who he is, and they didn't really know Jesus, so I went into a little bit about that, and that we need to make him Lord of our life if we want all the special blessings they have. You know, Jesus already has a room for them, and, you know, they're going to have new bodies, and, you know, good things are going to happen, and, you know, God just wants to be your friend, and we have to talk to him, and he wants to help, and he's our friend that's always there. And we talked a number of ways about the goodness of the Lord and the hope in the Lord. And then, you know, I could see their faces. They're just both smiling with such anticipation and excitement.
Because one of them had said no before.
Yeah, yeah. She was going to think about
reticent.
It.
You know, she was very reticent. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And, but, you know, even with their diminished capacities to they can read, they can do math, that kind of stuff, and they do understand. But the Spirit just, I think, opened their minds and their mm-hmm. hearts to who Jesus really was. And so I said, would any of you want to make Jesus Christ your Lord, your Savior, your friend forever, that you can call on for help, even, you know, in the middle of the night when no one else is awake? And they both said yes. And so we prayed, and after we prayed, they said, amen! So I just, you know, this is my last day there, so it was just such a blessing. Amen. And I just have to add this, too. Tonight, around 8:30, is going to be 29 years since the Lord breathed his Spirit into me.
It's your spiritual birthday.
Yep. And Pastor was there with me.
That's right.
And he was saying earlier, you know, the kids just came in childlike faith. And I remembered that that's what Pastor had said to me. All it takes is childlike faith. It's like, I can have childlike faith. And then he said, would you like to pray and make Jesus Lord of your life?
Yeah.
And I did. So praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, one of the passages we're going to look at tonight in Ephesians 5 says, making the most of your opportunity, making the most of your time, for the days are evil. And so that was just an opportunity that the Lord began to stir in your heart, that you were going to make the most of this time. You know, I'm not planning on being back unless God so moves for me to come at some point. But as of right now, this was your last day. And that was an opportunity. The Lord brought them to himself and used you to do it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so I think we covered most things at this point. Other than, Bob, do you need to fill us in on anything with the church? We got a fountain back there now. That's a lot prettier than just that old water sitting there. My prayer is God's just going to wow us all. That's however he so chooses to do that. Lord, you just wow us all that we're just in awe of his glory and his love and his care. Lord, you just wow us all. That all of us are going, oh, wow, wow. You know, we're like we're at the front of the throne with Isaiah, just taking our breath away. So that's my prayer.
A couple of prayer questions.
Yes, sir.
Robinson and Molly, they're hoping to expand the ministry to pastors in about six other villages. I would have named the villages for you, but
okay, so how is their plan to do that? Are they sending out the brothers?
They'll probably actually begin by them themselves going out.
Okay.
And then hopefully they'll just continue to have different ones help them with that. But I think they're excited about expanding to other villages. Of course, they've been going to a lot of villages in the area of Punjab. And so it's pretty exciting. I'm glad they're thinking that way.
Yes, sir.
And they were celebrating. They just had a wedding in the church, so they were celebrating.
That's an exciting time.
And then I wanted to mention Sandy is going to be going with out with relatives. She's going into the wonderful world of wokeness. And probably needs our prayer during this time.
Yeah.
But going to be ministering to family.
Okay.
And just be... You'll be gone this week, right, Sandy?
It'll be starting next week.
Okay.
The following week.
Okay.
That's a mission field.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
We don't realize what it's like in these colleges and how they're bombarded with constantly, visually, in every way.
So oh, yeah. We see it on the news, you know. Maybe some see it more up close than I do, but we see it all on the news. Any news on Pakistan and India? Any news on that over there?
Well, I mean, they've got a ceasefire, so we're glad about that. But
okay. They didn't mention anything about that?
It's kind of temporary.
Okay. All right. Ms. Heena, you want to pray for Sandy?
Father, Lord, we thank you for the wonderment that you would call us to yourself. Some of us in families are the first, and some of us are in different windows, but they're all ordained and orchestrated by you, Lord. So we thank you for the privilege of having been called. And Lord, I just pray for our dear sister, Sandy. She's been such an encouragement watching her faith just continue to strengthen, and her just love for you, Lord. Pray specifically and especially for every single heart that you would prepare ahead of her going, Lord, that each and every heart would be tilled and that it would be good soil, Lord. But we just pray for strength, for fortitude, for encouragement, and for the peace and joy, Lord, that Sandy may experience as she's just a cheerful soldier, Lord, for you, as she shares the hope that's in her heart with those that she meets and comes into contact with. And Lord, a special just prayer of protection sometimes with family, that their arrows and darts do come. But Lord, we remember your word that if they do come, it's the light in us that's repelling at times for people, but may we just continue to experience your nearness and your warmth and your light, and may Sandy experience all those things. Be with her and bring her back to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Mm-hmm.
And India as well. So I'll open us up with India, the spreading of the gospel. Sure, bring it on. We're just on prayer meeting.
A lot of us remember Gabriel Lagunas. I had a conversation with him today, and we're going to be getting together tomorrow. so just be mindful of that. He's very talkable. It's just, I don't know where we're going to be going in his walk with the Lord. He has turned what he can. I mean, it's not that I'm just kind of passing his hearsay gossip or anything. He says, you know, I'm not in the faith anymore.
Walked away.
In fact, he calls himself more of a, I don't think he understands it, more of a, what's that word?
Agnostic.
Agnostic. Agnostic. There you go, of sorts. I don't think he even understands. I think it's just a word to throw out there to make you go, oh.
Yeah.
So,
did he call you or did you call him?
We see him at the gate all the time, you know, when we go in. And we're looking forward to, you know, maybe see him.
Sonny, did you call him?
Yeah, I texted him.
So you initiated?
Yeah, I initiated it. Now, he initiates saying hi. He is passive with me, but when he sees Kim in the car, he'll say, hey, you know. And so it's a nice text. When I texted him, I said, hey, you know, do you want to get together? And he said, oh, yeah, I'd love to. So,
have you heard from Roger at all?
No, I'm hoping that he'll share these things with us, you know, and things like that. So.
Do you want to add anything? Okay.
But I'm just thankful because let me explain.
Sonny had tried to get in contact with him a while back.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it about a year ago?
Yeah, it's about a year this month. In fact, I was going over how we just renewed our lease. And I said, God, I know we've been doing things with some of the different ones here next door to us, but this thing, he's going to be leaving, probably get orders somewhere else maybe in about another year. So the Lord just impressed upon me to say, hey, I need to call him. And I did yesterday, not call, but text him and say, hey, you know, I talked to Kim. You want to get together for, you know, I asked him about what's he doing. Because, see, I could just pull away from the house and go on a break with him and talk with him. But I haven't even brought
him. He had called me about three years ago.
Right.
And it was like he had received the Lord. You know, he was excited. And I was one of the first ones he wanted to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's at the point where he's questioning.
Yeah, seed fell beside the thorns.
Remember, say prayer for, you know, basically when we do get together that, you know, I'm very attentive and listening, and it isn't just something that, you know, is a social meeting of sorts.
Yeah.
We're
well, we know you're not going in with that, you know, so. And we know the Lord is faithful in those things.
Like
we're working for food. Other food.
I know.
Amen. Well, let me open this up. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you know, as Pastor Gary brought up, Family Bible Church in India, Robinson and Molly, and Lord, they've been a faithful brother and sister in sharing the gospel. And Father, I do just pray for your guidance and direction. Lord, that hedge of protection around them, your people, the guidance and direction, a lot like with Paul and Silas or Barnabas as they were beginning to go to different places and share this gospel. We pray, Lord, that you would just open up hearts to be receptive to this gospel. And, Lord, that you would give them boldness, that you would give them clear speech. Lord, I pray that for all of us. And as I think about them as going and sharing the gospel, but, Lord, I think about our own nation and I think about us as Christians. You know, hearing about doctrinally sound churches is getting very few and far between. And so, Lord, may we have the same heart where we are to keep sharing the gospel, just like Robinson and Molly, just like the church over there, just like the brothers, that, Lord, we would keep sharing the gospel where we are, that you would fill our hearts with your spirit, to be bold, to give us a boldness in proclaiming the gospel, not belligerent, not arrogant, but, Lord, humbly seeking to save that which is lost, caring for the world that you've placed around us. And we lift up Sonny and Gabriel to you at this time as well, not unlike Joel as well, Lord, that, Father, you would just open the eyes of these young men's hearts, that they would see your truth, that they would see your son, that we would also see our sin that has nailed you to the cross, Lord, that brings us to that place of brokenness, that where we can see your love so clearly and how much you love us. And that, Lord, you just begin to draw those hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Anything else you want to add, Pastor Gary? Okay. All right, well, let's actually, we're going to try to get into Proverbs 20 tonight. And But there is something I do have to address before I go into that. If you'll turn me to Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. Just want to bring out a few verses here, and then I'll explain to you why. So Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So we believe that would be Sunday, the Lord's day, first day of the week. According to 1 Corinthians 16:2, Acts chapter 20, verse 7, the first day of the week when you come together. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. If I was to take you into Psalms 50, verse 12, God would say, everything in the world is mine. Everything belongs to me. Everything is His. If I was to read to you 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, he says, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. If I were to take you into 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, the church should be the pillar and the support of truth. If I was to take you into 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12, it would say, appreciate those who labor amongst you. So Sunday, Pastor Gary had to make a correction as far as the Lord's Day, because I made a statement and I said, Happy Mother's Day. I should have been more careful in the way that I said that. He made the correction, but because I'm the one that said it, I feel responsible to correct it because I'm the one that said it. And so...
It wasn't a terrible thing.
Right? No, but I feel responsible. If you have to say something, I feel like I need to correct it as well. And so if I could say it to this degree... what I should have said, or how I should have posed it in expressing my heart, is Timothy's clear. You know, the church is the pillar and support of truth. But with that being said, the truth is what ministers to you and I. The truth is what sets people free. The truth is what brings joy and peace, and Jesus Christ is the truth. So with that being said, as humans and humanism, I have to be very careful to say things the right way, because if I'm not, then it could so easily open a door, and a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. So what I should have said is, it is the Lord's day today, and every day is the Lord's, according to Psalms 50, verse 12, would clarify this. But in the Lord's word, he does tell me to honor father and mother. And one of the things I would like to do that Sunday was to express my appreciation for the ladies that the Lord has placed in my life in this church. And not only my life, but all of us together. And so Scripture does tell me to appreciate those who labor amongst me. And then it would go on to talk about the pastors as well. But in that first part, it would say, appreciate those who labor among you. So with that being said, a part of my heart was to say how much I appreciate the Lord, the ladies that God has ordained here in this church, first and foremost, your love for the Lord, and also your love for this body. And that ministers to me in many ways. And all the encouragement that you give me along the way. So, but that, I wanted to correct that. So it is a good reminder, not only for me, but for all of us as Christians, you know, we have to be careful how we say things. And let me say this, especially in this day and age, the churches are getting corrupted left and right. We're watching the catering to sin, and we're watching the affirming of things that are wrong. And so just a good reminder for me to be mindful of the things I say. So, and I appreciate Pastor Gary's heart in the sense of, you know, trying to, but truth is truth. And so I want to make sure I hold that clear. With that being said, let's go ahead and jump into Proverbs 20. And I don't think we're going to make it through the whole thing. I could speed read, which I can speed read, and I can talk pretty fast sometimes. But I don't necessarily want to have to talk super fast. So what we may do is just kind of hit some of the points, and we make it through it, great. If we don't, I think we're going to kind of get the general gist. Verse 1 is pretty clear. You know, it doesn't get much more clear. You know, a wise man loves correction. That's a pretty clear one. But this one's pretty, pretty clear. And the title I've given this one is Intoxication Ruins Reputation. And what instead of the Christ character that really brings fulfillment or brings honor, brings character. And so these things can bring in and ruin a reputation very quickly. I do believe there's multiple reasons why people go down this road. I was doing some research, and I think we were reading where within families, children were four times more to go down the road of alcohol that grew up with parents that drink. And a lot of times what I have seen, let's say you maybe have an older person that's involved in alcohol or intoxication at some point, because being intoxicated is not always alcohol. It can be other things too. And what I have found is it leads to experimenting. What I've seen in my own life and others, people's lives firsthand, it leads to experimenting from a young age. And even just from a physiology standpoint, I believe, the brain's not even fully developed yet. So it opens the door for all kinds of addiction issues in a younger person's life. Where an older person, you would hear the word functioning, you know, they can get up and go to work every day. But that younger person, when it gets hold of them, it takes them down a darker, darker path, and it makes life a lot harder. So just different things of research and when it came to alcohol, intoxication, so on and so on. So let's just open up in chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink, a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. And that's a pretty strong verse right off the bat. It's pretty clear. So one of the things that makes me think of is wine's going to cause you to become a mocker, or it's going to cause you to be mocked. It can go either way, you know. The mocker in and of itself, but first wine, from what I was reading and researching in that day and age, listen, alcohol is huge here in America, but even in this day and age, you know, not unlike even now in some cases, from what I was researching or defining the word wine and looking it up and digging into the word, there was some of it that can just almost seem like common drink. And I would say with that common drink, to me, it might not be unlike, say, juice today. If you let it sit there long enough, it's going to ferment and it's going to take on the more alcoholic properties. We also, like right now today, I can give you a juicer and put some apples and celery and orange in it and juice that whole thing, and you got a glass of juice, you know. But it's not necessarily fermented and alcoholic. But it can also lead down to the intoxicating part of the wine, which can ferment and become more intoxicating. So it would seem like it would define it in both ways. So, but wine is a mocker. We know we're going down the fermented path at this point. Wine is a mocker. It can cause you to go down this road of scorn, which the word scorn would be to begin to talk arrogantly, to take on a frivolous or an impudent kind of language, which would be to disregard sacred things, cocky boldness, and also disregard for others. You become a big talker. You might have heard the saying 10 feet tall and bulletproof. You know, that's what my mom used to always say back before I come to know Christ. That's what it does. It begins to influence you. It begins to take away your inhibitions. The word inhibition would be the mental process of imposing restraint upon behavior or other mental processes. Where in your right mind, you would probably say, I better not say that. I better not do that. That would not be wise. Alcohol begins to remove that from your life. The inhibitions are gone. So wine is a mocker. It can cause you to become very arrogant in your speech. It can also, another point of view, it can also cause you to look like a fool too. You start doing things that you never would do. And you'll literally bring dishonor upon yourself. You'll bring shame upon yourself with the things that you would do. So you can hit it from both ways. Not only is there an arrogance that can come into you, but there's also a shame and embarrassment it can bring in your own life as well. Strong drink, a brawler. The word brawler would be to rage or to cause war. So back to that 10 feet tall and bulletproof, make you very violent. I remember my mother would tell me about my father, which was not a drinker. But she says when he began to drink the strong drink, we would call it liquor, she said he would become very violent, a very mean man. And I've seen this in my own life and different people's lives. You start going after that, before long, you're wanting to fight and rage and bring war. It just is not a wise thing to bring into your life. So wine is a mocker, strong drink, a brawler. That's what the Word of God is telling us. I've seen this very clearly in my own atmosphere that I've grown up in. I've watched how this has taken place not only in my life before I come to know Christ, but other people's lives. You find yourself doing things that you never thought you would have done. I remember before I come to know Christ, one of the times that I was in jail, there was a young man that was in there with us. His last name was Lane. His name was Jeremy Lane. He was a 19-year-old boy, a young man, and had never been arrested before. And it was Florida Georgia weekend. And they were walking back to their car, him and his friend, and they ended up getting into it with some University of Georgia guys. Well, Lane threw one punch. Alcohol is involved. You're in the surrounding. You're in the atmosphere. Lane threw one punch, and it hit the Georgia student here on the neck. It ruptured one of those arteries, and the young man died right there on the sidewalk. Had never been in trouble before in his whole life. Never been in trouble once. But in alcohol influenced time, he threw one punch, and literally his whole life was changed. He got 20 years in prison. 20 years. His whole life changed in a blink of an eye. And that's how fast things can happen. There was another young man that I knew who had never been in trouble before with the law at all. Was hanging around this one individual, and they decided to rob this guy coming out of the Winn-Dixie. And they got caught. This young man was 18 years old and got 15 years in prison. Never been arrested before, never gotten in trouble before, but alcohol came into their lives and they were ready to commit violence. How easily these things can influence you, how easily they can begin to alter your right way of thinking. And if we're writing to a king, and we're writing to someone that is being called out, you have responsibilities, you have to live a different life, you have to take into consideration other people around you. You need to understand that these things can very easily influence you, and they can cause a lot of harm in your life, and it can happen very quickly. I just gave you two examples of men that had never been in trouble before, but under that influence and in that atmosphere, the things that happened changed their lives forever. One decision changed their lives forever. So something that, you know, we need to keep in mind. So wine is a mocker, strong drink, a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it, that is to say, the word intoxicated means to stray or to go astray, that it begins to move you away from that right way of thinking, as Scripture would say, especially in the New Testament, to be sober-minded, to keep your right faculties about you, how easily it is to be moved away. And I wanted to stop here for a second because people can become intoxicated not just with wine, not just with strong drink. We're in a day and age where you can easily become intoxicated by so many different things. Men or people can try to look for relief or escape through alcohol, drugs, social media. In this day and age, you can become intoxicated with social media. And we're in a different day and age now than back when I grew up. We didn't have this thing called cell phones. We didn't have easily accessed spending on Amazon. You know, we didn't have all of those things like we do today. Today is a different animal. It's supposed to be made easier, but it is very much more intoxicated related in your life and in my life. And if, in fact, you're looking for relief or escape or fulfillment in the wrong things, it'll bring a lot of heartache into your life. But I did want to make the point. Intoxication can come through so many other avenues, whether it's shopping, whether it's drugs, whether it's world, whether it's the telephones that we have. You can find yourself, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok for the young people. Go down the list, you can so easily find yourself getting so intoxicated by these things. Before you know it, you can spend hours in one spot with, I think one of the things they're calling it now is, I forget the word for it. Forgive me. I'm trying to use it off the top of my head here. Dopamine. Dopamine addiction. Because these little, the world has figured out, they make these little videos, and before you know it, you're spending hours on these little videos that are a minute or 2 minutes long. And before you know it, especially in the day and age with young people, it can so easily begin to take over their lives. And before you know it, you can't live without it, not unlike it would be alcohol. Someone may begin to go to alcohol at first to maybe experiment. But before you know it, that alcohol or that intoxication of whatever it may be can take over your life before you even know it. You might think you're using it, but before you know it, it's using you. And it's got a hold of you. And one of the things that I've shared many times, and we're going to talk about some of these verses, is I'll say, well, then put it down. If it's not that big of a deal, put it down. If it doesn't have hold of you, put it down. And a lot of times you'll know if someone can put it down, then great, you overcome it. Wonderful. But there'll be a lot of times they can't put it down. And that's the reality of knowing, okay, it may have more of a hold of you than you realize. So a good point I felt like I needed to make in some of these. So, and whoever's intoxicated by it is not wise. It's at this point that I would like for us to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. From what I've been taught, and I also see in Scripture, Scripture does not say, okay, you can't, you don't really see it come out and say you can't drink. But there will be certain verses that Ephesians 5 will be one of them. Don't go getting drunk, for that's dissipation. You don't want to do that. Why waste your life? Be filled with the Spirit instead. For Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 8, you want to be very mindful about being a stumbling block. You need to be thinking of others more than yourself. And then we're also going to see in Proverbs as well, I believe it's 23, and then we'll also look in 31, and allow the Word of God to begin to proclaim to us what would be the better part of wisdom. What would be the better part of thinking of others? What would be the higher road to climb? As someone that says, I want to serve God. Someone that says, I want to have a right relationship with God and I want to be about God's kingdom. I personally believe the more you think about it, when God doesn't come out and say, no, you can't do that, right? It's like he gives you a choice. And he says, well, you read what I write. I'll let you choose. And man has a free will to choose what road and what kind of character he wants to have. I see that as almost the wisdom and the challenging of God of sorts to say, well, you read, you make a decision. And it really begins to show a heart, and it shows a wisdom aspect for the believer. So Ephesians 5, if I was looking at Ephesians 5, 15 through 21, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, which I was mentioning that with you earlier, Ms. Kim, making the most of your time because the days are evil. I mean, they're hurtful. These days, you're out here in the world. These things are hurtful. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. It's wasteful living. But be filled with the Spirit. What should I be doing? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, encouraging one another in truth, encouraging, picking one another up, through the Word of God, encouraging, pointing to the things of Christ, spiritual songs, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And let me just say this, alcohol will stop you from doing that you know, it can so easily influence you. 21, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. That is to say, we're serving one another. It's not about who's in charge here, who's in charge there. If there's an opportunity to serve and help my brother, I need to have a heart to serve and help my brother. It really doesn't matter what position you're in, because this scripture seems to say we're helping to serve one another at different times. We're encouraging one another. So if you look with me, I do want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And we'll look at 7 through 13. It was a time in Corinth where they really aren't thinking of others. They're just thinking of themselves. And they would have these temples, and they would sacrifice, have different sacrifices of the animals, and different ones would just eat in it and have no regard or no care for maybe someone who was just saved out of that life. And they're going into these temples and eating, or eating the food that was sacrificed in these temples, or an idol, false gods, sacrificing to false gods. And it would be easy for someone in this day and time that was just called out of that life and received Christ to look back and cause them to stumble. And so Paul's saying, listen, I'm taking you to the higher plane here, because 1 Corinthians is about maturity. He goes, I'm trying to take you to a higher plane of thinking, to where you're going to think about that brother or that sister that just received the Lord coming out of that lifestyle, or having dealt with some of that in their life. You're willing to say, you know what, I'm not going to participate in that, because I care more about this brother and sister that is a little younger in the faith, weaker in the faith, not as strong in the faith yet. I'm going to care more about them than myself. So you come into verse 7. However, not all men have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But food will not commend us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat it, nor the better if we do eat it. We understand it's just food. Romans will talk about that too. But take care that this liberty of yours, so you may have all this freedom. You may have all this freedom. This liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. I had an individual one time come to me and say, well, I have this individual, they're coming to stay at my house, this pretty important person in the family, and but this person was a recovering alcoholic, and I have this in my fridge, and I say, get rid of it. I said, what are you doing? Get rid of it. He says, and the response was, well, that's not my problem. They need to, you know, they got to deal with that. And I said, brother, I would encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 8, and I would encourage you to read Romans chapter 12. Brother, you need to take these things into consideration, because God's calling you to think on a higher plane. You know, and that's what God's trying to get us to do. We're going to a higher plane in the way that we think as Christians. Or, i.e., if we were to think about Proverbs, we're talking to a young prince that's going to be a king, that's going to help rule, that's going to help represent his father's kingdom. Let's just say he's staying a prince still. Even the prince should be that which represents his father's kingdom. Is he going to represent it the right way, or is he going to bring shame on that kingdom? So we as Christians have been called to live differently, i.e., we now represent the Father. We now represent the kingdom. We no longer just get to live the life that we want and consume with ourselves. That's how the Gentiles live. That's how the unbelieving world lives, but not the Christian. The Christian thinks of others. And so these are things that he's causing us to say, you need to think about this. Verse 10, for if someone sees you who have knowledge dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? For through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined. The brother for whose sake Christ died. Now that's a whole nother level of responsibility. When he starts bringing in statements like that, it's Paul wanting to get the Corinthians' attention. This is truth, but that's a very heavy statement, a very heavy verse that he just read. We come into verse 12. And so by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Another very heavy verse. Therefore, if food, this is the famous verse of Paul. Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I'll never eat meat again. Now, in this context, We understand that those were the idols, those were the sacrifices that were being made to the false gods, and Paul's wanting them to understand, you can't just go and partake of that anymore because people are getting saved out of that life. You need to say, no, look, I can't be seen doing that because I got to take into consideration my brother that just got saved, or my sister that just got saved. So, or old ways of life that they were coming out of. So Paul would write, therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I'll never eat meat again. I think it's the wisdom of God as well that he would use something as common as food. It's like God going, look, I'm going to use just the most base thing. I'm going to just use food. And Paul goes, I'll never eat meat again. I mean, and if we think about it in this day and age, especially in America, we eat a lot of meat. But for Paul to say something like this, that's a very heavy verse. Is Paul saying, I'm willing to let go of even the things that we would enjoy for the sake of someone else. So, and let me say that the stumbling would be to fall away from the faith, to cause him to go into sin, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. If you turn me to Romans 12, and the whole point is, if just to sum it up, you know, we're beginning to think of others more than ourself. That's the basic fundamental truth right there. I'm not just thinking of myself. We're thinking of others and their relationship and their state of being at this point in time more than ourselves. So Romans 12, 13 through 23. I'll start here. Actually, that's actually not it. 14, sorry. Chapter 14, my apologies. Okay, 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this. Okay, so one person says, I'm going to do this day, another person that day, and he'll kind of challenge both, you know. But then in 13, he says, we're not going to sit here passing judgment on one another. Let's make this decision together as believers. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this. Let's make up our minds. Can we all agree on this? Not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. He goes, okay, we're going to the high road here, right? Let's just keep moving forward. 14. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. We also got done talking about convictions as well. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. So this would tie right back into that 1 Corinthians 8, some of the same issues that were going on in Corinth, even here in Rome, but during this time. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you're no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. And then 16 is one of the famous verses. If you don't have a highlight, you want to. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, so now we're talking about drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So that was one of the points that I kind of wanted to make as I was opening up. A lot of people will turn, people are looking for escape in areas of their life, fulfillment, escape, whatever it may be. What we're reading right here is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That as you and I take on that heart of Christ, that is where you'll find comfort. That's where you'll find fulfillment. And let me say this, that's where you'll find rest. Mm-hmm. Some people will turn to certain things thinking, okay, I'll find rest here, fulfillment, or it helps me unwind. You'll find rest as you take on that heart of Christ and in that relationship with the Lord. According to Proverbs 3, it'll be strengthening to the bones. It'll be refreshing. Your soul will be refreshed, the inner man. And I have found a lot of times, and I want to make this statement too, I've had more fun in my life. Now, I lived a pretty out there life before Christ. I was out there. I've had more fun since coming to know Christ in my life with no negative issues than I've ever had. More fun walking with Jesus, serving Jesus, than I ever did before Christ, ever. And it's pure, and it's clean, and it's encouraging, and it's honoring to God. So, can we still become dishonoring to God? Yes, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is the fun, the enjoyment, the fulfillment, the peace, the rest, it was all found in Christ, not those things. So, we'll keep going. Verse 18, for he who in this way, here we go, serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. So what am I going after? I'm going after building up one another. I'm going after that which will make peace, that which is integrity and honor and love. Verse 20, do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean. So nowhere in Scripture does it say you cannot drink. But there will be verses that you will read, especially in Proverbs, especially here in Romans, Corinthians, that God would strongly tell you, okay, here's the verses. Make a choice. You choose. So there is a higher plane that everyone has to think through in their own life and their own walk. So, 20, all things indeed are clean, but they are not evil. But they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. So that's what you have to think about. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. Now, Paul would bring in wine in this text. Paul's bringing that part in. If it's going to cause a brother to stumble. The faith which you have as your own conviction. So there's the conviction part. Before God, happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. And so that's a point too. Michelle and I were talking the other day, and she goes, well, is this particular thing a sin? I said, honey, I'm not the one saying it is. I'm just telling you, the Word of God says if it's not from faith, then it's sin. And so it causes the Christian to step back and ask themselves, okay, am I really pursuing a life honoring to the Lord? And according to Ephesians 4, not me. I'm just telling you, this is what Scripture says. And our job is to present to you the Word of God. As a Christian, you have to make a decision. You have to choose what path you want to go down. And if you think about John laying his head on the chest of Christ, if you think about Peter, James, and John going into that garden, or on the Mount of Transfiguration, going into that Garden of Gethsemane, how close do I want to be with Christ? And that's what you have to keep coming back to. So, and Ephesians would say, I need to grow up in all aspects to the maturity of Christ. And so it causes each Christian to take a step back and go, okay, I know that this is the life I may have lived and this might have been the things I've done, but God calls us to think about the things we're doing. And then there's challenges that come in. There's challenges that come in that challenge you and I, and at times can even be offensive. If you turn me now to Proverbs, let's turn to Proverbs 23. And I believe a part of what Proverbs is going to convey to us is really the carnage that can come out of intoxication, whether it's alcohol or anything else that would take over my mind and come in front of worshiping God. Proverbs 23, verse 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? So woe, sorrow, contentions. Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? You fell down a flight of stairs. You're looking at him. Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long over wine. Those who go to taste mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red. I want to stop here for a second. Or when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. I believe it was a documentary I was watching. So it was the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s. And they did some documentaries a while back. And I thought it did a pretty good job on encapsulating what was going on in those decades. And I thought it was in the 70s. It might have been in the 60s. I'll need to double check. But they started hiring psychologists to make commercials. And once they did that, everything started booming off the rails. Because the psychologists knew how to get to the human psyche. And they knew just how to make the commercial to make man think he needed that. And he had to have it. And so psychologists began to become in to making the commercials. I bring this up. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. I bring this up because you watch the television commercials. You see it on the games. You see it everywhere you go. You see it on the billboards. And they make it look real fun. And everybody's having a great old time. And what they don't show you is the DUI on the side of the road. That's going to change your life forever. What they don't show you is the Jeremy Lanes of society. What they don't show you was the young man that I told you about earlier. What they don't show you is the bad choices and the mistakes and the promiscuity. What they don't show you is the inhibitions coming down. What they don't show you is broken families. What they don't show you, which I remember when I come to know Christ, one of the things that I said is I do not miss waking up the next day. It kills you. There is a smell that comes off of your body that people can smell feet away. It ruins a life very quickly if, in fact, it can get hold of you very quickly. But the commercials make it look real fun. And the world's good at making it fun. But the world doesn't show you all the carnage that comes with it. It's like going into Disney World and you're looking at all the storefronts. But then you ride that train around and you get to the end and you see the grease trap out the back. You see all the dirty aprons hanging there. You see all the cats and the grease everywhere. And you're going, whoa, I don't know if I want to eat there anymore. That's the point. It may look good up front, but let's see what it says in 32. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. So there's the consequences that come afterwards. The pain, the hurt is bad. The poisoning of you. Your eyes will see strange things, things that aren't there. Things will just be made up in your mind, hallucinations. Your mind will utter perverse things. You'll go down the wrong road and you'll start to compromise on the things of faith. And you will be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea. Good luck with that. Or like one who lies down on the top of a mast. Sounds pretty foolish to me. And then 35, they struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I didn't know it. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink. But that's what happens. And let me say this. Things are going to happen to you. You won't remember. It clouds your memory. You don't remember. And let me say this. I'll seek another drink. Why do you think he adds that? Because it's addictive. Because it'll take over your life before you even know it. And it'll change your life without you even realizing it. If you turn me to Proverbs 31. This is King Lemuel, the oracle his mother taught him. In verse 31, which we believe that was Solomon. If you'll look with me, we'll just look and start verse 2, 3, and 4. What, O my son, and what, O son of my womb, and what, O son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroy kings. You have a responsibility, O king. Other people are under your charge. Christian, you have a different responsibility. There's people that God has placed in your life and in your influence and in your sphere. We do not have the luxury to live like the world if we picked up the cross. We don't have the luxury. We have to understand we now represent the kingdom. You may not have fully understood that when you received Christ. I didn't. I just knew that he loved me and I was being rescued out of my sin and I wanted to receive him as Lord and Savior, because I wanted forgiveness of my sin, and I wanted to be in right standing with God. I knew that. I could feel the drawing coming into my heart. I knew that. It was as I began to grow and come and listen to sound biblical teaching that I realized, whoa, this is a lot more than what I signed up for. I didn't fully know. I didn't. But once it became clear, I had a choice to make. I could let go of the plow, or I could come and say, no, God, I need to answer this call, and it's not about me anymore, it's about Him. It's not about my life, it's about His kingdom. And we have a responsibility to represent the kingdom in a right way. It's not saying you're not going to make mistakes. What represents the kingdom the right way is when you do make mistakes, you're willing to say, I messed up, and I need to make right by that. That is a proper representation of the kingdom. You know, so also righteousness and love, they both work together. You can't let go of one or the other. You have to hold on to both. So verse 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to desire strong drink. Why? What will happen? For they will drink and forget what is decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. So then he goes on to say, who can you, you know, give a strong drink to a dying man, to one in need? So you realize, he says, you've been called to a different standard, O king. And if you think about just principle-wise, a king or a prince, as if we're writing in Proverbs, the prince has been called to a different way of life. Another, a prince has a choice to make. A prince can reject his heritage and go pursue the life he wants in the world his way. Or what's the more honorable character? The prince that comes and says, I was born into this. This is my heritage. I must represent it the right way. I have a responsibility. I mean, the honor that you hear coming out of that is unbelievable. It's off the charts. It is the very heart of Christ that says, this is about my Father. It's not about me. And that should be the heart of a Christian, one that's pursuing that mature path. We'll go ahead and turn back to 20. We're out of time. I'm sorry. I didn't even realize it was 8:20. I apologize. But we may hit more if we need to next week in Proverbs 20. It's very easy to allow the strong drink to influence your life. It'll bring a lot of carnage into your life, what you don't want. If you look at me in verse 28, loyalty and truth preserve the king and upholds his throne by righteousness. That intoxication can influence these things. The glory of young men is their strength, and the honor of old men is their gray hair. Are you looking for fulfillment? Go serve. Go minister. Are you looking for, be diligent to enter his rest as Christ Jesus. You want refreshment? You want fulfillment? You want rest? Go serve. Whether it's the young man, go serve and go minister. Spend that time with the Lord, but wake up each day and say, I'm going to go serve Jesus Christ today and serve others. Represent my Father. If you're the older man, go look for ways to encourage, instill what God has taught you into that next generation before you go home. And stripes that wound scour away evil, and strokes reach the innermost parts. Correction is good for you and me, brothers and sisters. It removes the wrong way of thinking from our life. We need that correction that comes in from the Lord. And God is sovereign, so God brings correction in many different ways. But correction is that which removes our wrong way of thinking, brothers and sisters. So we say, okay, Lord, just help my heart to be open to the direction I need to be going and serving and ministering in a way that pleases you. I need to be very careful of allowing this old heart to be led astray and to become intoxicated, whatever it may be. Because intoxication ruins a reputation, and it can begin to bring dishonor to the Lord and bring shame in your own life. So shall we pray? And dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you, Lord, help us just to be on guard ourselves, Lord. We don't want to be swept away with anything of this world, for it is all going to perish. So, Lord, purify our hearts today. Cleanse our hearts, Lord. that we would love the Lord our God with all our hearts, that Lord, your word tells us that in you there is pleasure forevermore. There is joy made full. Lord, may we believe that. May you strengthen our hearts so much that we believe that serving you and walking in you and representing you and sharing your gospel and serving one another and encouraging one another is that place where joy and fulfillment is found. And then, Lord, may you use us however you so choose. You're the shepherd. You use us as you will. But, Lord, please purify these old hearts today. Keep us from loving the wrong things, Lord, and loving you. In Jesus' name, amen.